Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansom-Rath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. She's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She is the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole.
Hi, Cindy.
Last week when you had your road trip and, you let me know in the afternoon you couldn't, be on the air. And normally, I can manage without you. I don't like managing without you, but I can do it. It gives me an anxiety attack, but I could do it, but I had such a busy day with so many readings, and I just heard the voice of spirit say, Cindy, you're too tired to do this all by yourself, so just send out an email, let everybody know we're taking off and why. And I had to say, because you were on a road trip, because the last time when I just said to people, we have to, cancel the show, and especially when I was sick, I got like 800 emails I had to answer because everybody thought I was dying because they know that I never cancel. So I had to make sure
that's
people knew
funny.
Nobody's dying, nobody's sick, because otherwise I'd be the whole night answering emails. So how's that going to be more relaxing than taking off from the show?
Oh, my goodness.
So now, we've had quite a week in the United States, and I don't know what's with Orlando, but there were three tragedies in Orlando last week. Of course,
the main one.
With our gay community and with a terrorist and, our own homegrown nut, whatever. And, there was, I don't know if Christine Grimmie is, but she was on The Voice.
Yep, I do.
We adore her, and we have her music. And she was signing autographs last week just because she's so cordial and wonderful to her fans always. And she was shot in the head in Orlando, killed by one of her fans. And then we had the little boy that was drowned by the alligator in Orlando. So three horrible news stories coming out of one city. Don't you think that was kind of odd?
Yes, I do. I think that it was very, very odd. I don't even know what to make of it.
Me neither. And, I wanted to take a little moment to, say a prayer, all of us collectively, for those three tragedies that have affected so many people and just awful. And, the mission of Grant Me a Higher Love, just to state it here, is world peace, because soulmates teach peace, love, and joy one couple at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They teach their children that. They're beacons of light for the world to see. Cellmates, that toxic love teaches war. Razor's edge mates, mediocre love teaches cold war. So we do our bit every week for world peace and every day with the Grant Me a Higher Love philosophy. And, it's really frightening what's happening in the world. I don't think it's helping any, with our presidential candidates screaming and yelling like lunatics at each other. I don't think any of that's been good either for the world. I mean, we would all get a timeout if we were lying and screaming, wouldn't we, in school and bullying? So
that whole situation just infuriates me. Like, I can't. I just can't.
I mean, I can't either. And, TJ and I have a philosophy. Let's just not have a president for the next 4 years. Let's all say we'll be very, very, very good, and we don't need any of that kind of adult supervision. And I think it's safer when you have a bad driver, leave the car in the parking lot for 4 years and let somebody, when they learn how to drive it better, take it. So I think we're really at the point where...
Well, that's the problem, though. If we didn't have a president, then you've got even more knuckleheads in Congress anyway.
It's just... Like, I just want, you know, why can't we say what we mean what we say, and not be mean about it, please, and be kind to each other? Because, you know, just be kind. I mean, it's just that the highest evolution of a human being is kindness. And, you know, that's what we strive for here. And, you know, we couldn't do our show without, you know, speaking of these tragedies. And we really want your opinion as a member of the gay community. How did this affect you and Lisa?
Well, we were absolutely blown away by it, because it's you know, you see how far we've come as a people and as a class and everything else. And then, you know, you're reminded by, you know, by things like this that we still have a long way to go. You know, and I think that's a universal message, not even just for the gay community, but for, you know, even the tolerant people out there, because I know that to a certain extent, those people who are, you know, tolerant and are accepting of my culture and of the gay culture, that, you know, they're also saying that, you know, it's not enough just that they're okay with it, that, you know, they have to show that they're okay with it and that they have to speak out on those things. And I think that it's also a very, very big eye-opener for the gay community, not just in the fact that there is hate, but for me, it's also with the way that you conduct yourself. You know, I saw, like, it was amazing to me, because as I'm sitting here watching the news and I'm watching families mourn people that just got, you know, that had to know that their loved one was just killed. You know, they had put out a bulletin, you know, for people to donate blood. And this was one thing where I was just kind of like, are you kidding me? You know, they put out a bulletin to donate blood. And one of the things was that because it was an emergency situation, they put out a bulletin stating, if you currently have more than one sexual partner, please do not donate. And a couple of the gay people that had gone down to donate had more than one partner. And they said, I'm sorry, you can't donate in this situation. And they went all over TV saying, oh, look, see, I'm trying to help my people and I'm being turned away because I'm gay. No, you're not being turned away because you're gay. You're being turned away because you got more than one sexual partner.
And if you were
not
heterosexual, it goes
issue.
As well, right? If you're
exactly.
for heterosexuals as well, correct?
Exactly. It goes universal. It's not just gay. It's not just gay men. It was a universal thing. And it's people like that people hear. It's the people that do not make our community look the way that our community really truly is that get the loudest voice. And for me, that's sad, you know, because Lisa and I live very, very normal lives. People that would have never ever, that I would have never thought in 100 years would have been accepting of my sexuality or of my lifestyle, you know, have literally changed their minds after being exposed to me and Lisa, because we're just like any other couple. You know, and
only
I think
a little
that's
bit
like
better.
Really,
only a little bit better.
What's that?
You're the Grant Mayhire love soulmate.
Well, that's true.
You're
that
a little
is
bit
true.
Better.
You know, but the level of normalcy is there. Like when I see pride parades, you know, and I see, you know, men walking down the street in thongs, that's not pride. You know, that's not pride.
I don't
want
to see anybody
walk
down the street in a thong. I don't want to see anybody walk down the street in a thong.
Exactly. Like, that's not pride. You know, like completely like being handsy in the streets. You know, and make it, that's inappropriate for heterosexuals to do, let alone homosexuals. You know, that's inappropriate for everybody to do. Nobody should be practically, you know, having sex in the street. Nobody should be walking in the street, you know, down, you know, Broadway in the middle of Manhattan with their ass hanging out. It's inappropriate for anybody. Remember back in the day, men used to leave their homes in suits. Women used to leave their homes and you know, skirt suits and you know, hats
and gloves.
People
they
used to dress.
Hands.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not, you know, that's not necessarily a fashion thing. That's a consideration thing. You know, so it was definitely, definitely eye-opening for in many ways to see the reactions of some of the, you know, people out there that were just, you know, really, really driving home the whole discrimination factor and the negative factor about that community. For me, I would have been more focused on the way that the community banded together as a whole and not trying to find how there's more discrimination in light of this, you know, because the important thing was not the fact that people were getting turned away for blood because they had more than one sexual partner. The important thing there was not to say, look, there's more. The important thing to do was to rally behind those families and the friends of those people that had gotten shot, the people, you know, that, that may God bless them, that are still in the hospital, you know, some of them still hanging on to their lives. So that, that death count is not complete yet until every single one of those people is out of the hospital and medically cleared. You know, the important thing is how the community banded together. The important thing is I heard this wonderful story about a grandmother that was on a JetBlue flight on her way to Orlando to go and be with her family because her grandchild just got killed. And every, and like one of the flight attendants heard that that's why she was on the plane and that's why she appeared so upset. And the flight attendant made like a little card and passed it around the entire plane. And then before this lady, you know, disembarked, this woman handed her a card that literally had pages now by the time everybody was done writing to this woman. And every single person on that plane gave their condolences on their way out. Things like that are the important thing. The love is the important thing. It sucks that this person, well, you know, it sucks that, that this person thought it was okay to blame the Nation of Islam, because that's not right to do the Islamic community. That is not radical. Okay, and you know what? And it's, I'm probably going to get, you know, a lot of side looks for saying that. But the bottom line is that you're dealing with radical Islamists. Not every person that, that you know follows Islam is like this.
Of course,
you know,
not.
There were many, many Muslims.
And more people should read the Quran to find out what it really says. It's a book about charity.
Exactly, because you know what? What they're reading is interpretations of things that are online. And most of those things have misconceptions. You know, Islam is a very, very peaceful religion. I firmly believe that. I know some Muslims who, you know, they were crying right with us. I know Muslims who are gay, who are right there, you know, just in complete awe of that situation. And believe me, the Muslim people that are that way, that are actually following their religion, you know, in that very, very peaceful way, they are pissed off that they've got their own people turning people against other people against their religion. You know, they're just as upset as we are in some cases. You know, if not more, because they're doing this in the name of their religion and they're making it harder for everybody else, you know.
Exactly.
So it's just the love that came out of everything is what needs to be concentrated on, because it doesn't matter black, white, gay, homosexual,
green,
heterosexual, you know,
eight
none
heads.
Of it matters. What's that?
Right. If you have eight heads, you're green. We don't care. We love you.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. You know, love and acceptance is what matters here, you know, love and acceptance and caring and support. That's what happened. That's what needs to happen, you know, and that's what needs to be concentrated on. And I think that Jimmy Fallon is one of the people that said it best. You know, we all wound up in this country. America was built by people who didn't want to suffer religious persecution. You know, we created the laws that we created so that we could disagree and not die for it. So that we could agree to disagree, so that we were able to have different opinions, so that we were able to grow as individuals in the direction that we saw fit. You know, that's what our country is based on. So for us to now be cultivating a world where we're going to be so strict with our beliefs that we're starting to persecute other people, it's the antithesis of why this country was even developed. It's the antithesis of why we're here today. And if that's really the way that you feel about it, then my advice to everybody that feels that way, if you want to start persecuting people for religious beliefs, go find a country that has got the majority of your belief and stay there. You don't need to be an American then, because being an American being in America, it's called being part of a melting pot, okay? And we have our own customs, and we adopt and we accept the customs of other people, and we agree to disagree, and that's okay. And people need to realize that that's okay. And that if you have a disagreement, go back to debating. And you, just like you tell your children, use your words and not weapons. And use your words and not fists. And use your words, you know, and not try to find different and new ways to persecute other people.
Exactly.
Because there's only one judge in this world. And that's and he's not walking among us right now.
And, of course, he's a lot fairer and kinder than most, you know, than human judges, for sure. And, you know, the saddest thing that I think I heard was, you know, normally we would think the sound of death is quiet. But what the police were saying, what the medical examiners were saying was it was nothing but the ringing of cell phones with people frantically trying to find out if their loved ones were dead. Could you imagine being just standing with those phones and not picking them up? What are you going to say at this moment? And just them ringing nonstop. And
well,
that
was unfortunately what one of the moms had to do. You know, her son had run into a bathroom, and he started texting his mom. He's like, "Mom, they're taking over the club. Mom, you know, he's shooting people. Mom, call the police." And there's a thread of text messages before the text just stopped. And then the mom had to call to try to find out what happened. And one of the last things that she's got from her son is, "Mom, I'm going to die."
All right. Now, here it is. This is like so, you know, right on accountable. People were Instagramming it, showing pictures instantly, posting it Facebook. I mean, we witnessed this stuff now firsthand right at the moment when it's happening. And it makes it all the more, like, frightening. Because this is like now. It's not like we're looking at it 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later. We're looking at it now. And it really is a frightening, you know, experience. So, you know, our prayers, you know, are for all the people that, you know, in the world, but for the victims, for everyone touched by this. And, you know, it's just something that had to be discussed on our show because it's been
absolutely. And actually, while we're sending our prayers out to those people in Orlando, and I don't want to minimize the other tragedies that have happened in Orlando by any means. You know, poor Christina Grimmie, very, very talented young lady who it's hard enough to make it in the music business these days. And this kid finally got her shot and you know, and she was snuffed out all too early. And that poor family who was finally taking their dream vacation to Disney who lost their toddler, you know, is also equally tragic. And while we're on that particular topic, and while we were talking about terrorism and everything else, I would like everybody else to also keep in their prayers, even though it's not in the United States. And I'm not sure if you heard about this, Cindy, but there was also, I believe, I don't know if it was the same day as the attack on Orlando or if it was the day after, the police officer in Paris, or just outside of Paris, where, you know, a terrorist, you know, a known affiliate of, you know, the radicals, otherwise known as ISIS, had gone to his home and killed him on his steps and then proceeded to live broadcast on Facebook while he was in the house, while he tortured this man after he killed him on his own steps, torturing the man's wife to death while their 3-year-old watched from behind a couch. And the last thing that he said on Facebook that day was, "I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the boy," before finally they stormed the house and they got, you know, they got the child out safely, thankfully. But now this kid is an orphan, you know. So this is a crazy world that we live in, and it's very, very easy to give in to the fact that things are bad and that things, you know, horror does happen. But, you know, the more we start spreading love and the more we start spreading acceptance and the more we start asking the media to start showing us the good in the world and not all the crap, the moment we stop watching their point of view and we start living day to day in a manner of love and acceptance and tolerance is the day that we're really, really going to make a difference in this world.
And just one couple at a time, one person at a time. And well, we do have a lot of listeners, but we had to have two women who have been trying to reach us. I'm going to start with the 813 number first and then the 614. So we're going to go a little reverse because it's 1 and 2, but we're going to do 2 first because she waited all last week to speak to us, and we couldn't.
Oh, no.
These are some of our regulars. She's Kelly. She calls in regularly.
Of
and then we
course.
Have Abby, number one. So, and then we'll take other listeners. And if you want to talk to us, you do have to press 1. And, you know, we'll dig right in because at least we know who those first two are, and then you could screen, you know.
Absolutely.
So if you want
to put
Kelly on
first. All right, so we're going to go to 813. And who'd you say is waiting for us at 813?
Kelly.
Kelly, all right. Mm-hmm. Here we go to Kelly. Hello, Kelly, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kelly. I know you were so smart to I am on Facebook, Cindy Sands on Braff. I'm also on the page Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. So if you sometimes want to get through, you can message me Facebook or you could email me at cindybella1@yahoo.com. But, of course, you let me know that, you know, you wanted to get through. So why don't you just ask me the question or get right into what you need guidance on.
I'm absolutely. I'm been in a relationship for about 10 months, and it had its ups and downs. We do have an age difference. He does compare what I've had with my ex-husband to what where he's at in his life.
How much age difference is it between the two of you?
It's 18 years.
Okay. And he's 18 years younger.
Yes.
All right.
And he loves me, and I feel it, and I think he's scared. I just don't know. I know he loves me, and I love him, and I want it to move forward. I'm just confused on where it might go.
Okay, and you know, sometimes when there's huge age differences, there can be like a built-in expiration date on relationships, because sometimes the age difference can eventually get in the way. But with soulmates, they tend to have obstacles, race differences, religious age. So, you know, only love matters to God. So, you know, those people that can overcome the age difference or not see it as an expiration date, I mean, it depends. I mean, does he want children? And can
no.
you give him those? If he doesn't want children, then you have less of a problem here, you know.
Yeah, he's happy that my kids are grown. They're teenagers. He loves that. He loves my kids love him.
Perfect. Now, I can see that you guys have a very strong soulmate connection. I also see there is a tendency for you guys to go from soulmates to toxic here. You know, there's like, you know, sometimes it goes down the ladder of love pretty quickly. And those issues don't appear to be age-related so much. I think they just appear to be, you know, he may have some healing issues he still needs to work on. I mean, he's a lot younger than you. And, you know, as we get older, the grace of God and any luck at all and some inner searching, we do heal a lot of issues. So, you know, do you call him on some of the things that he may need to work on? Are you doing that with him?
Yes. I've called him out on like a couple of like things. Like a lot of the time, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells with him, where he doesn't want to talk about what's going on in his head. And like he'll tell me, "Oh, I love you," and he comes sees me every day. So there's, I don't see why he would do all of that and not want to talk about like what's going on. He did say that he was hurt once before, and I think he asked me why would I even consider him as a boyfriend but he compares him to my ex-husband, where there's no, I wasn't happy with my ex-husband. That's why I'm divorced. So I live in a cardboard box for happiness and love and respect, you know? And so, and I've told him that, but I don't know if he feels that maybe he'll get hurt in the long run. These are the small conversations that I've had with him of why he kind of pulls back a little bit. And right now we're on a break, you know, and I don't know. I just, sometimes I can't forget him, and he's friended me. He's never had social media. He's friended me on Facebook now, and he's opened up a Snapchat, and he's doing these little things to kind of like keep in contact. But I don't want to move on, but I don't know if I should move on.
Is he in his 30s, by the way?
He's 28.
Okay, 20. Because that generation takes time out, breaks from relationships. That's what they do. Okay, so, you know, you're almost two generations from him, and it's a generational thing. I mean, this is perfectly normal for that generation. I don't think it's perfectly normal for anybody, but the generation takes the time out, and yet they keep one foot with us, they contact us. But in some ways, you're kind of enabling him, because he's got to know he's going to lose you if he can't kind of put 2 feet back in here. And you know, at what point are you going to say, "I don't really need a Snapshot friend or an Instagram friend or a Facebook friend"?
Deleted him from all of that.
Good, because yes. Part of the problem is why people don't have to call us or contact us is because they know everything we're doing on Facebook. So right. Normally they would have to call to see if you're in a relationship, what have you been doing. No, they can kind of stalk us, Google stalk us, see us on the social media. So it
Agreed.
Doesn't force them to call us. So I'm glad that you've cut that off, blocked him from that. That's good. And I'm seeing he's trying to make choices what he wants to be doing and where he wants to be going. He's not really playing very fair with you at this point. And even though he's younger, you're older, he's pulling the master stuff. He's the one that can let you know how close you can get or not get. So, you know, I'm not seeing him coming around too soon. It looks like he's really, really scared. I'm not sure what he's so afraid of at this point. You know, what caused the sort of separation anyway, the breakup? What made him stop, you know, made him take this time out?
You know, and that's the confusing part that I would really like to know.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what you think you know, and I'll tell you what you don't know. Okay, you tell me what you think. Okay.
Well, so it was Mother's Day coming up, and I said to him, he came home, he came here, and he said to me, well, my mom, who doesn't really go out much, said, I want you to take me out on the boat on Mother's Day. But normally, his name is Andy, normally he would say, hey, babe, I'm going to take my mom on the boat, and I'll meet up with you later. But there was no extra, I'll meet up with you later. So I felt pushed away, and I felt pushed away kind of the whole week a little bit. And, but he took my boys on a fishing tournament trip. I mean, so he's there, but it's like almost he's not there in a way. So the next day, he's like, what's the matter? I'm like, well, if you're asking, I'm going to let you know, but don't get upset. And I basically told him, he goes, that's my mom. I'm not pushing you away. And I said, well, normally you'd finish the conversation with, babe, I'll see you later. You know, absolutely, like on the boat. And he never said that. And then he just pulled away, and I felt like he was calling me selfish. I'm far from a selfish person. I have three children. He knows in his heart I'm not selfish. I don't know if it was an excuse of his, but, I mean.
Well, narcissists always call good people selfish, by the way, because they know it's the worst thing you could call a good person. I mean, my ex-husband controlled me with that for years.
He didn't
call
me selfish. That, but I felt like he was implying that. Like, how do you not want me to go with my mom? I said, it's not about that. It was about you come see me every single day, and there was, my kids are going, Mom, are we going with Andy on the boat on Mother's Day? And it was kind of like I was in limbo. Like, it could have been or could have not been, and I just wanted to make it, you know, make a confirmed thing. And when I was trying to confirm it, he kind of had like a little bit of a grouchy attitude. Like, I was in the wrong for asking. Like, I bothered him.
Right. And again,
I know he loves me, but I just don't know. I don't know. What is he scared about?
But what he's doing, he's playing the game of blemish, by the way. He found something that really isn't something to end a relationship over, something you could have a simple conversation about. He is afraid of the age difference. I don't think his mom's thrilled that you have three kids and you're that older. I mean, I don't think his mom's thrilled with it. What I'm seeing here is she may be part of the problem. You know, she's saying, you know, you're taking on a lot of baggage, you're taking on a lot of responsibility. You know, people sometimes worry more what people have to say than what their heart tells them. And, you know, I know what it is to be in a very similar situation as to you. The age difference was a little bit less, but not much. And, you know, a young guy, you know, it's hard for them to overcome it. You know, the mother, you know, put some thoughts in his head. And, you know, right now, the age is scaring him. So, you know, you can't be in denial that it's a significant difference. Okay.
Yeah.
And again, only love matters. And if we love who we love, by the way, you know, the John Mayer song, we love who we love. You know, the heart has a logic of its own. The soul has a logic of its own, you know. But the generation takes time out. And that's what they do from relationships. They keep one foot in with you, and then they check out what's out there. And maybe he thinks he can fall in love with someone closer to his age. Maybe that would be simpler. Maybe that would be better. But, you know, normally, you know, men don't take time out from women. They want to be with them. They want to have sex. They want to make love. They want to be together. So you might want to put it in your mind how long you're willing to wait for this situation. And
well, I'm not waiting. I am trying to move on with my life, but he's on my mind every day. And, I'm not calling him. And I'm just curious. I mean, do you see him coming back into my life? Do you see this, like, maybe he'll see that I am the one for him, where maybe he needed some time apart? I don't know. What do you see?
What I see is that he's trying to end it at this point.
Okay.
You know, he just, you know, the age difference is too much for him. You know, he's afraid, what if I love you, you die in me? You are 18 years, you know, older than him, in his mind, you could die first, which I laugh because one of my friends was with a man who was 25 years older than her. She was 25 and he was 50. And it was one of her fears, but I will tell you, she died at 43 and he's still alive at 90. So we never know who's going to go first. You know what I mean?
Right.
Age
no.
difference or no age difference. So he has some fears of loving you because of that. Do you know him to drink, by the way?
Honestly, he had a DUI many, many years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, and he's been a very responsible driver. I mean, the way I look at stuff, I mean, he
But do you know him to drink?
He drinks, but I've never seen him, like, be nasty or
Because he's drinking. He seems to be drinking right now, and that's
yeah.
what's making him distract. In other words, you're wondering why, he, as a soulmate, you feel the agony and he's not feeling it. Well, because, you know, people go to the drug of choice. They start drinking, they start smoking pot, whatever it is, so he doesn't feel the pain. You know, so right now he seems to be drinking. He seems to be hanging around with some of his, you know, relatively immature friends. And just plain old distracting from the pain. But when he puts his head on the pillow at the end of every night, it's you that's on his mind. But
I'm
you know,
on his mind?
You're on his mind. You know, that's how he feels. Now, a lot of people are telling him, you know, it's stupid, she's too old for you, she's this, and that's one thing to be with a cougar, it's another one thing to love a cougar, it's, you know, have a relationship with one, you know, and know with him, he's kind of influenced by what people say.
Mm.
And so, you know, right now he doesn't have a lot of people in your, you know, in your fighting for you in your arena. Also, you know, he's the new master, the new men, the 28-year-olds, 30-year-old men call all the shots. You can come this close, not that close. Now, you can be my booty call, not my girlfriend. I'll call you, don't call me. This shouldn't be sitting well with you for that reason, but it's very common with that generation of men. And, you know, he's doing the kind of ghosting, disappearing act, which shows a certain level of narcissism on his part. I mean, looking at it from a logical standpoint, people saying she's too old for you, it's painful to hear because I've been through this situation. It's not pleasant, okay? You know, it's going to make you have a massive midlife crisis because of it. But it's kind of, he's hearing that logically sounds makes sense, but if you've never had a soulmate, you might not understand why the love is so strong regardless of the age difference. And some of the people he's talking to have never had a soulmate, so they really don't understand it.
But sure.
I'm seeing what he would want to do is forget about you if he could. It would just make it all easier for him. You have to deal
right.
with, like, you know, when you have a soulmate with an age difference, a race difference, the Romeo and Juliet of, you know, kind of situations, it's got to get you to the truth that only love matters, that the heart is an eternal child, the, you know, immortal child, and the soul is immortal. He has to get you to the real answers, but he's only 28 years old. You know, that's the point. You've come a long way beyond him. That was my problem. I was older. I had been through so much more. These people have to go through what we learn, only love matters. Maybe they have to go through another decade, you know. I just remember telling this particular man, I can give you everything, but I can't give you my youth. It's spent. That's gone.
Yeah.
I can't give you that. And, you know, I know you're a very attractive woman. I know that you know, what you look like. It's not like he looks at you and thinks anything other than you're beautiful. But what I'm seeing is it's the more the age and the fear of what people will say and do here. And
so
the fear of soulmate love. Soulmate love is frightening. So,
is he with anyone else right now?
It looks like he's distracting. You know, in that generation, you know, you can go on Tinder. You can find 10,000 women of his age group that you can distract with. Looks like he's trying to distract. You know, any woman's interchangeable with another. But how do you go from the soulmate ladder of love to narcissistic rung? And you can't. It doesn't feel so fun. It's not fun. You know, he's not having a lot of fun over this. Okay. You know, I'm just telling you, he's not having a lot of fun.
He's not, or he is?
No, he's not. Even when he's trying to, it makes him feel lonely. It makes him miss you more. It's a lot of, you know, you're just being told all you can do now is take the 2 feet out and have him fear losing you more than loving you. I wish I could tell you mine had a happy ending. I can't tell you that. It didn't have a happy ending. Okay.
So you're not really seeing me paired up with him in the future.
I'm seeing it's not over. I'm not saying he won't come back and forth, but, you know,
so
he'll
come back. He'll come back.
Yeah, it looks like he will try to come back. You know, he may do this dance. It may take, you know, a while for him to come back, but then it looks like he could run again. So, you know, what I would do if I were you is...
My kids love him, and my
I know that.
Devastated over this. And,
that's why I said if it was just you, if it was just you involved, and I will warn you, when he comes back, do not let the children know until it's a relationship. You know, if you go see him, you be with him, you do what you got to do. But you can't let your children see you allowing him to come and go as he pleases.
Well, my question to you is that even if I allow, because it's kind of like the third time we've kind of had this little situation, as much as I wanted to welcome him back and I don't want to push him away, like I don't know if he's, when do you think he actually might come back? Just curious. A month, two, three?
I'm seeing it could be any minute if he's drunk enough.
Oh, great.
So, you know, I'm giving you a heads up. He may call you when he's been drinking.
I want him to beg me. I'm not going to welcome him with open arms. I've already have my headset. I need to let him know that if the love is real, then you're going to have to work at it, and I'm not going to commit to be anybody to you until you see him working hard to get me back enough or no?
I see right now he's drinking, distracting, and being with his asshole friends and being influenced by other people and listening to what other people have to say more than what his heart is telling him.
Yeah. They are very young friends that he hangs out with, unfortunately.
And they're extremely mature. And they're telling him, what do you want to be with her? Go on Tinder. Look at all these 18-year-olds that want to be with you. Look at this 19-year-old. Look at
Tinder?
He seems to be trying to, you know, hook up with people. And, you know, I don't think he's having a lot of fun about it. I don't even see him hooking up all that much. But I'm seeing it's what his friends are telling him he should be doing.
So he might come. He's probably going to come back. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he'll be back.
Okay.
But, he'll be back.
But he might run again. You don't know for sure.
It looks like he's going to run again. And I will tell you this. Even if you were the same age, he'd be running. He's afraid of a soulmate love.
Yeah.
He's afraid of what it means, how you have to heal your issues. It's bringing up unhealed issues. His mommy wants to come first, by the way. Mommies don't come first. Soulmates come first.
His mother's a drunk, and he's had a lot of ups and downs with his mom, with the whole drinking thing, with her pushing him away. And I think there's a lot of issues going on there. He loves his mother, Jeff. I love the fact that he loves his mother like that. And I know his mother loves him.
Yeah, but his mom and him are a toxic love affair of sorts, okay? So,
yeah.
You know, he knows his really, really dysfunctional relationships and that love is pain. So he's making love pain with you. That's what he's causing you. Love is pain is what you're going through.
Yeah, he can't go to talk about anything. He has no sisters. He's got stepbrothers in Indiana. He really has no one to, like, adult girl life to go say, hey, talk to me. Or, you know what I'm saying?
So exactly. So what I'm saying is he's getting some pretty bad guidance. And again, you know, he's not letting you go in an arena to fight for him. It's about what he wants. I mean, pretty much what a woman that's that much older than a man would have to say, you know, stay with me as long as, you know, you're happy, as long as I get you hotter than any woman ever did. If that ends, then you go on your way. But let's take it one day at a time. You don't want babies. Take it one day at a time with you. He won't give you the one day at a time. So, you know, later on in his life, he's going to realize, why didn't I just take it one day at a time? Why didn't I just see what was there? I mean, 5 years from now, a lot of relationships end, whether there's an age difference or not. Like, let's see what happens in the time. But let's do our best to love each other. I'm seeing that you got your hands full with him, by the way.
Mm.
I mean, it's unhealed issues.
I mean, so, if he's going to run again, I can't tag him back because I can't keep doing this to my children. They come first.
And again, take it one day at a time. He comes back to one day at a time. He's a soulmate. See what happens. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people have to stop trying to control everything. You don't control soulmate love. You're trying to control it. He's trying to control it. You can't control it. You can't will it away, wish it away. Just surrender to it and see what happens when he, you know, when he comes back and what's on his mind, you know. And tell him at that point, you know, see what he has to say. And then tell him, I can't do this. I can't do this back and forth dance. It's all or nothing with me at this point. But, you know,
and
don't torment
you. How is he going to respond to that? Going to be like he's going to try and come back and be like a different person than he's been in the last couple months, or he's going to just kind of, I don't want to come back and think that he can just have me. You get where I'm going with that? I want him to understand where I'm. I mean serious business here. I'm not into this.
Right, and that's what you're going to have to tell him. Again, he's a different generation. They think differently. They come and go. And this is what younger women have allowed. So, you know, there's just certain things that are built-in differences. The commitment phobia thing, all of that is built into that generation. But you're going to have to surrender to this, that it's not up to you at this point. You know, it's kind of up to what he comes and if he can step up to the plate and even say to you, look, I don't know, the age difference could later on affect me. Like, okay, when it later on affects you, we'll talk about it. Is it bothering you now? No, then it's not an issue. It's really something that everybody wants all the answers, and he's not going to get them. You're not going to get them. All you can do is if, you know, you love each other, take it that one day at a time, but committed one day at a time. Do you know what I mean? It's like you don't want babies. You don't need an answer tomorrow, but you need his commitment to you on a day-to-day basis right now. And if he can't do that, and he can't just disappear, you know, you disappear again, you ghost me again, it's not acceptable.
Right. No, so this is not about not loving me or being attracted to me. This is more about being scared of a commitment.
Scared of commitment. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Even if you were his age, he'd still be doing this.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. Well, anyway, I want to try to take Abby and, you know, call in again, especially if he resurfaces.
And so you think he might. I just want to have hope. I don't have hope, I let it go and just really just get it out of my mind. So you think I have a little?
I don't see him. I don't see this over. Okay. So, you know.
Okay.
I don't wish what you're going to have to go through on my worst enemy, by the way. Because when a soulmate does this, it rips your heart out. That's why when he returns, you got to say to him, what's your intention in returning? Is it to have a relationship, you know, that we're going to try? And if not, then please, you know, don't contact me.
Okay. Thank
all you,
Cindy.
Can do. Good luck to you.
You're the best. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a great evening. Good night.
You too. Bye. Boy, when I hear this, it brings back the past for me and pain.
Oh, I know.
why I wrote Grant Me a Higher Love. I know what it is to fall in love with a man much, much younger than me and watch all the fear and everything happen. So all I could say is I wish her better luck than I had.
Yep.
You know, I got a book out of it, okay?
Hey, listen, but you know, look at that. You turned your pain into something that's very, very positive that is helping so many different people.
Exactly. And, boy, now we have Abby, who we just love. Abby, you know, has been calling us for years, and she's, you know, wants to know about her soulmate, that what's going to go on with him. So why don't we put Abby on right away?
Of course.
I love Abby, by the way.
Oh, we all love Abby.
We love Abby. Abby's our girl.
Hi.
Hello, Abby. You're on the air.
Hi, Abby. You are loved on this radio show. You are our girl.
Oh. I love you guys, too. How are you?
You know, that's why when you always say, can you, like maybe put me through on the show? I'm like, Abby, of course. So you've been, like, loving this guy kind of from afar, where you have this connection, and he's a work guy, and he's been going through a divorce. Am I getting it right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Now, you're afraid he's going to go to another job? He has another job offer, if that's what's going on? Or?
Well, I know for certain that with his job and the way it is, that he will be officially reassigned in the next couple months. It's to be determined. I don't know where he's going to be assigned, but I know for sure it'll be out of state somewhere, but I don't know where. I have not spoken to him, but this is just how these job positions work. They're rotated pretty much every 2 years.
Wow. And I think that's part of why he, you know, besides getting the divorce, why he didn't want to even start in with something with you.
Yes.
Because it scares him. His divorce still looks like it's really a nightmare here. So I think that's been on his mind. You know, have you tried to go over and talk to him when you see him?
I've only seen him up close once, and that was about a month ago, and I did try to approach him, but we were again in another large work function, and I couldn't get up close enough to him, and by the time I tried to get close to him, he was already gone. So I did try, but I couldn't get close enough to him.
Right, and know that it looks like it's going to be hard for you to get close to him at this point. I don't know how often you're going to be brought in alignment with him before he leaves. And would you maybe, after he's gone, would you try to contact him? Do you have any contact information on him?
Well, see, I don't know. I mean, I could find out, but I'm not sure if you can tell where he's going, or I don't know if you can tell if he's changed his mind or if he wants to include me on having a future with me, or if he's just kind of decided that it's just not going to work out since he's being transferred, or that's kind of what I was hoping you could help me with.
So it looks like, he still feels a connection with you, by the way, but he doesn't look like he's so concerned with just how's he going to make a living, where he's going, that he's sort of put any feelings on the back burner at this point. His life doesn't look happy and good right now. The divorce has been really hard on him financially. It's been a strain. Now he doesn't know where he's going to be going or living, so that seems to be more what's on his mind than anything right now. So, I think like love is not on his mind, and it's not you personally. It's more, with him, and that's why we have more than one soulmate. And if this doesn't move forward sooner than later, you're going to be granted another one at this point. You really can't wait for him forever. And he goes three states away. I mean, can you pick up with your job and go three states away at this point?
Yeah, I can easily transfer. I mean, I can easily transfer and go. Because my position, they have them wherever he goes. They have the same positions where he goes.
Well, it's like you're almost going to have to try to find out, is there any way through the gossip mill at work that you could find out if he gets transferred or where he'll go? Is there any way you could find that out, that information?
No, I definitely can find out. It's just that I don't want to force the situation. I thought it would be more that if he would be, wanting to include me with him is more the situation.
Well, you might want to just find out where he's going, and maybe, when say, you're going to go away. Here's my contact information. Oh, yeah, really, I'd like us to stay in touch. Just kind of give him something to contact you. And it'd be better when he's not in your office, by the way. And at that point, you won't have a regret. I would have, could have, should have given him something or given him some indication that I'd love him to contact me. This way, if he doesn't, you're going to know, look, he doesn't want love right now. He wants to go forward in his life. He doesn't want to include me for whatever reason. It's mostly because it looks like he's not a very happy camper right now. But at least this way, you can give him a certain amount of time and put it in your mind, okay, I've done all I can. And now it's like time for the universe to bring me somebody else if he can't step up to the plate. I don't think he's changed in his feelings for you. I think he's a little more jaded right now. All I keep getting is, man, he had some toxic relationship with this woman. Do they have children together, by the way?
Yes, they have two daughters.
Right, and I think his children are a concern to him. I think he's really been blown away by this divorce. I think she's much worse than he even anticipated. So what I'm seeing is right now he just wants almost a timeout from everything. I mean, if he has children, his children live here. Isn't he going to have to come back and forth?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I don't know how that's going to work out because I haven't talked to him, so I didn't know if she...
I mean, these are the kind of things you can discuss with him. You know what I mean? These are like, if it was even just a woman that you liked as a friend, wouldn't you ask her questions at work? Well, how's this going to affect your children? I mean, it must be difficult. What are you planning on doing with them? I mean, these are questions that you could actually have a conversation with him about. And again, it's trying to, you know, ask the universe to bring him in alignment where you can actually have a discussion with him.
Yeah, and I kept hoping for that, but I know you said that he's been trying to avoid me, and so I haven't wanted to pressure him by trying to force contact with him.
But it will be, if you can find out when he's going, where he's going, it would give you a sort of easier opportunity to talk to him. It would take some of the you're in the same office off the, you know, off the plate here then.
Okay.
And it seems like he just doesn't want that. He doesn't want any, first of all, he didn't want any rumors going around because he wasn't divorced yet. And, I mean, it looks like he's close to it. I'm not sure if it's all the way through yet. Maybe not all the papers are signed yet. So, I mean, he's got a lot on his mind, this guy. He really does. And, you know, he's a responsible man. Can you see that? He seems to want to do what's best for his children and everybody else. And, you know, she's like the female equivalent of your ex. So you go figure that out. Go figure out what he's going through.
No, I'm sure she is. I'm sure she's not any fun.
No, no. Oh, no. I mean, I have a rigged deck that I use for my phone readings and my radio show. It has, like, triples on certain cards. It has triple devil card, which is a really toxic relationship. I got triple in a row. I mean, these shuffle cards, you get three devil cards in a row. Eek. I think, if anything, he's kind of wants a timeout from relationships. You might know how that feels. You know, that he would just rather be on his own for a while. But it looks like you can be brought into alignment to have a discussion. But don't talk about, like, a love relationship, just so much kind of be friends. And, you know, maybe share, oh, I went through a divorce. I know what it's like. It's really difficult. How are the children taking it? You know, you could open a conversation with him like that. Because he likes talking with you, by the way.
Yeah, no, I enjoy his company, too. It's just I just haven't had the opportunity to talk to him.
All right, and can maybe you want to tell God, okay, why don't you just put us in alignment to talk?
Right. And well, I've been hoping for that.
Right, and taking, you know, the time to, you know, ask him questions and not be too shy about things. Again, because if it's just a friend, we would ask our friends questions, don't you think? It's funny when there's that romantic thing around, we all of a sudden it frees up and don't ask the questions we would ask if it was just a friend.
Right. Yeah, no, I wouldn't pressure him for anything. I just wanted the opportunity just to talk to him, just as a friend. That's
and you've been looking really good, Abby. I don't know what you've been doing, but you've been looking really good. Did people tell you?
Oh, no.
Because, you know, he thought you looked really good.
Oh,
so,
that's a nice compliment.
You know, so know that he did notice you. And, you know, it's almost coming to the 11th hour here. If this doesn't come forward, you know, you'll be granted another soulmate at this point.
I wanted to ask about that because the last time I talked to you, right after that, there's a new man that's been coming around that actually knows my soulmate, and we work together, and he's been coming around, but he's married, though, and I can't tell if he's interested in me or not.
Oh, he's interested. You know, he's the kind of man you want to know, ask if his wife knows he's single, you know?
Go ahead.
He likes you as a person, but, you know, he is the kind of man that has affairs, so be careful. And especially, you don't want your soulmate to think that you're the kind of woman that would encourage that. You know, you could maybe use him to pump him for some information about your soulmate. Oh, so what's going on with his job?
Yes, that's how I thought, because he initially told me that they know each other very well. So I thought that was the universe bringing me in alignment with him. So I thought this was great. I thought, okay, here's my chance. But now this man has been constantly near me, but he's very, I don't know, on one minute, off the next minute, acting like he likes me one minute, the next minute he'll ignore me and be mean to me. Like, I can't figure him out.
Okay.
And he's very strange.
Well, he is the kind of guy that's not you. You know, narcissists swing hot and cold depending upon their mood, by the way. And, you know, he's just been brought to get you some information, but, you know, watch your back with him because he could be a little bit of trouble too. You know, you don't, just be nice to him no matter what. If he's mean to you, just, you know, just say, oh, I guess you're having a bad day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Don't take it personally. You know, learn to
I can't figure out why this man's been brought into, like, my life right now, because there's got to be a reason for him, and I can't figure out why, because he's constantly there.
Yeah, well, you know, he is interested in you, and, you know, you can use him for the information you need. And if he crosses a line, you can just say, look, as a sisterhood of women, I do not sleep with men who are married or get involved with them. So, sorry.
And that's what's so strange is because when he comes to talk to me, he'll constantly talk about his wife. So I'm like, okay, well, he's not hitting on me, and he's talking about his wife. So that's why I didn't think
he
was
talking about his wife positively?
Yes, like he talks about, oh, my wife does this, and we're going to go on this vacation together, and yeah, so that's why.
Okay, good. So you keep him talking about his wife, so that's what we want to talk about, okay? But, you know, there's definitely, he has, you know, he has an attraction to you, and maybe he gives us an excuse to talk about his wife so nobody who overhears can think he's hitting on you in any way.
Oh,
I mean, he's a pretty manipulative guy, this guy, okay? So, okay, and, you know, he's like, you know, trying to make it like, oh, I'm talking about my wife so nobody could say anything. But, you know, and if I were you, I would just, you know, use him to, you know, get to know some information about the other guy. But, you know, keep it mostly talking about his wife and whatever. But you're not crazy. There's a lot of sexual tension in these cards here. I don't know if you...
Oh, between him and I or between
yeah, or
him?
Like between him and wanting you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, yeah, because I couldn't figure it out. I can't figure him out at all.
Yeah, well,
okay, well, at least you solved that.
Yeah. So what I want you to do is just make sure you just keep it friend, and if he's in a bad mood, you're not his lover, he shouldn't be showing his bad mood. You know, you just don't take it personally or get hooked into that nonsense. You know, just ignore him then. You know, it's funny because as much as you married a Hitler, you're still a little naive about people. Do you know that?
I guess you still want
to see the good in people and give them the benefit of the doubt, and you don't trust your gut something. Your gut's telling you he's crossing the lines at times, he's looking at you the way he looks at you. You know, your gut's telling you this is not just a friendship he wants. And so you have to make sure you keep it at the friendship level with him. Because, you know, these are the kind of guys, they never actually do anything that you can say is coming on, but, you know, your gut is telling you it is. So just be careful and use them for the information you need, though, by the way.
Okay.
Ask him, you know, oh, okay, so what's going on with him and his job transfer? I'm curious about that because when it's going on, you know, I like to hear what people get transferred out of here, where they're going, what they're doing. You don't have to make it specifically about him. But that you like to find out when people are transferring.
I'm just really sad because once he's gone, there just won't be an opportunity for me, I guess.
That's why you want to make sure that before he goes, you give him your contact information. And, you know, let's keep in touch. If he doesn't keep in touch with you, he's all right. You accept it, you know, whatever reason. But you want to make sure you give him an opportunity to let him, know how you feel.
Right.
So, you know, keep me posted because it looks like something's going to happen in the next few weeks. So, you know, putting you in alignment to talk with him and everything.
Right.
So, be prepared what you might want to say. And again, if he were, you know, you like him as a person and as a friend, and, you know, and you didn't even tell me, you know, let me know how it is working there because, you know, I could kind of pick up and go anywhere. I'm not sure I want to be staying here anymore. It's not working out for me here, you know. So let me know how things are there, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know long term. I don't know if I should just transfer because
So you can just tell him that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about maybe transferring, but I don't know where. So let me know if things are good in that place. You know, stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, good luck to you. And we are at the end of our show, and we thank you so much for calling, Abby. We love you so much.
Now, okay, love you too. Thank you.
Bye. Now, we didn't have time to get to Stacy, but if she calls in next week, we'll put Stacy through. We do know her phone number at this point. And
yes,
Nicole,
I've already told Stacey to do that.
Okay, and Nicole, thank you for giving us that viewpoint from the gay community. And as you know, I don't like even using gay community because I don't think you think of yourself. You just think of you as the human community. But you know,
yes. You
know what I'm saying. And you gave us both from both sides of how you feel about things. And when people sometimes are, you know, not behaving appropriately, even within the community that you're in.
Yeah.
You know, let's not take everything so personally, you know, sometimes.
Exactly.
It's just,
you know, the whole thing there, Cindy, is that you can't ask to be included. You can't ask for equality and then make yourself the outsider and expect to be treated differently. Okay, whether it's positive or negative, either we're all going to band together and we're all going to be a singular community, or there will be sects within that community. You can't have both.
Right, exactly. And, you know, just to be
so
on the safe side.
Much love to everybody out there.
With, you know, anybody could get HIV. Anybody could get, you know, whatever. It's, you know,
yeah.
So it's just like, wouldn't you want to make sure if you're getting blood in an emergency situation, you don't get HIV from it? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They're just trying to be precautious and maybe over-precautious.
Please, HIV, Zika, anything. It could be
anything.
Anything,
Zika.
Any sort of STD, you know?
Right. So, I mean, it's like, let's not be so, temperamental about this.
Exactly. Well, no time and place. There's a time and place for things, you know? And if that were the case and if that were true, then fine. But you know what? You can hold that in to let others grieve. You can hold that in to keep the focus on them, because that's where the focus needed to be in that moment. It didn't need to be on you. It didn't need to be on that situation. So people need to learn a little bit of couth and a little bit of etiquette, and to pick and choose your battles, pick and choose the proper time and place for things. And like I said, either we're one community or we're a separate community. You can't ask to be equal and then expect to be treated something special. It doesn't work that way. Either you're equal or you're not.
You know, thank you for your input, because, you know, I think it's really important that we heard from you today. And you always have such intelligent opinions, and, you know, and we really needed to address this on our show tonight, because I just thought we couldn't just do a show and not talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on our hearts and on our minds and in our souls. And,
yep,
again,
absolutely.
Lots of prayers going out. And if you are close enough to donate blood and you are, healthy and you're allowed, please do so, by the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
just do that.
Absolutely.
And
you know, send good vibes and love to all those families and to the people that are still fighting in the hospital.
And there is a GoFundMe and, you know, going on for
mm-hmm.
the families, and you could kind of look that up. And if you have a little extra change in your pocket, you might want to think about contributing as well.
Absolutely.
It's a good cause.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, and we'll all speak next week, by the way.
All right. Talk to you next week, Cindy. Wonderful job,
Bye.
As always.
Bye.